And now here are some of the letters received at the evening news during the past week. Peter Princely from Norwich has a view on MP George Freeman and his mortgage increase. George needs a second job. I read that my current MP, George Freeman, no longer sits on the front bench, but reckons he won't be able to exist on an income of just over £86,000 a year. One of the reasons he gives us is that his mortgage has gone up from £800 to £2,000 per month. Many of his constituents will have also found large increases in their mortgages too, but would be happy with a yearly income of a third to a quarter of that received by our current MPs. Perhaps he'll need to find a lucrative second job to help pay his daily bills.
Paris Back from Bergapton offers some advice on starting a conversation. How are you? Three little words that can sometimes feel too huge a question. My friend with cancer said she has been withdrawing from company lately because she finds that simple greeting too overwhelming. It can be challenging to choose how to respond, which requires extra energy in itself. This especially when she has put all thoughts of her illness to the back of her mind. A suggestion is to say instead, "It's good to see you or hear you," if on the phone, and let her take the lead on whether to give an update or not. I think this is a simple act of thoughtfulness we could all adopt with friends we know who are going through a tough time.
Jacqueline Allsop from Lowestoft has concerns about moving to a cashless society. Again, I'm reading about a cashless society. It seems like little or no thought has been paid to those who cannot cope with the world hurtling towards the likes of AI and digital services with breakneck speed. This includes the elderly, the disabled, and those that are happy clinging to the familiar, especially those with dementia. I know several who have no internet services and are happy without them. They pay by cash or cheque and don't use plastic cards or online banking. While some may be happy to push their world into super fibre and the like, there will always be those who will struggle to cope with the pace of change. Next year we'll see the demise of the landline, another forced change that will affect millions. I have signed a petition from Silverline to save them, as internet services, satellite TV and personal alarms are all connected to them. They are an integral part of many lives. It's about time the authorities took notice of those other than the online generation.
Paul Playford from Tivichnall St Mary reminisces about the closure of the Horning Ferry we mentioned earlier. The Horning Ferry article reminds me of the 60s, when it was a flat-bottom metal chain ferry. It worked well. However, some senior scout chums decided one Saturday evening at the Ranworth Maltsters, rather than return to Woodbastwick campsite, we would walk the bridges round to Wroxham. So off we went over Acle, Potter, Ludham bridges. However, about 2 a.m. in the morning by then, we were tiring and knew we wouldn't make the Wroxham Bridge nor the campsite until very late that Sunday morning. We went to Horning Ferry, and alas, the ferry was on the Woodbastwick side and the chain had been hooked up and would not pull across. The late Jeff Crane, a scout commissioner, lived in Salhouse, and at 2 a.m. with a phone call, took pity on us senior scouts when we rang him, and he got out of bed to unhook the ferry. What a gentleman Jeff was, and what an adventure for some likely lads.
And in our final letter for today, Judith Daniels from Cobham comments on the delightful 105-year-old Jenna Brown, who was present for the opening of the Herring Bridge. I read reports of the new Herring Bridge opening in Great Yarmouth with interest and feel duly admonished because I too was one that expressed doubts on the viability or its actual implementation, which goes to show the embodiment of, oh ye of little engineering faith, because I could not get my head round the logistics or even the positives. So yes, the day finally arrived and the sun did indeed have its most jaunty hat on, and people flocked there to be an integral part of local history, with MP Sir Brandon Lewis and all the other dignitaries rightly feeling proud and no doubt very relieved that the culmination of years of hard graft and finally paid off without any hitches. I thought the lovely lady, 105-year-old Jenna Brown, was superb with her resonant recollections of being present at the opening of the Haven Bridge. Her palpable excitement and twinkly eyes were a pleasure to watch. It was a day to celebrate with all the other participants who took part, and hopefully this long-awaited bridge will signal a resurgence in our local economy. I have hopes for next year. A Labour government in charge, sorry, couldn't resist that one. Our beloved and still much missed Palmer's department store being converted into a library and educational hub. And a fully working bridge allowing more people to visit our great town. Finally, I'd like to give a shout out to all the skilled workforce. They've battled a word war, two bombs and a suspected vole burrow. Local councils and all other involved organisations, sustaining hope when many of us often portrayed a cynical attitude of would this day ever come and would we actually still be alive to see it?